Well, we are back here on Tuesday. Nevada sports back in action. Happy to be with you here on this Tuesday, March 2nd. We do have some Nevada baseball going on right now. Nevada on the road against Arizona State, playing the Sun Devils down there in Tempe. Currently a 3-3 game, so we will get you up to date on what has happened in that matchup coming up. But like I said, happy to be with you on this Tuesday, March 2nd, as we start the third month of the year. And plenty to talk about today. We'll talk about some NHL with some scores last night, some headlines today, what's coming up today. Same in the NBA, some scores last night, some headlines, what's coming up today, as we have some exciting matchups in both of those leagues. And then we're going to talk at the end of the show a little bit about Clarissa Shields, one of if not the best female boxer in the world right now. And of course, a lot of news around her about what she's trying to do this year in 2021 in terms of putting on the first all-female boxing pay-per-view card, as well as make the transition, or at least part-time make the transition over to the world of MMA. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show as well. But as I mentioned, Nevada baseball in action right now on the road against Arizona State. Again, this is the this is the eighth game of the season for Nevada after coming off the first four against Cal Poly, where they lost the first game 4-0, came back to win the next three games on the road, then of course had the first conference matchup of the season as they were on the road against UNLV, and unfortunately dropped both games on Saturday, but was able to come back and get the win against UNLV on Sunday, 6-1 in that game. And so far against Arizona State, they've been holding their own. And I was surprised to see the baseball history between Nevada and Arizona State, as today is the fourth time they have are playing each other. They'll play them each other a fifth time a little later on in this season. But coming into today, the two teams had played each other three times in the past, and Nevada hasn't lost. They beat them back in 2001 here in Reno, 6-4. Then in 2006 on the road in Surprise, Arizona, Nevada beat Arizona State 12-8. And then back in 2016 in Tempe, Arizona, Nevada got the win 11-5. So this has been a series that, while there isn't a ton of history, Nevada's history against Arizona State has been very, very successful. I mean, the fact that they have put up 31 runs in three previous meetings against Arizona State. This is a team that, is typically right up there in the Pac-12. They're this 22nd ranked team in the country right now. And Nevada just doesn't seem to be fazed by this Arizona State team as the game currently goes into the top of the sixth inning. And we are tied at three. Arizona State got on the board in the bottom of the first inning to take a 1-0 lead. And then we had scoreless through the second inning before Nevada was able to tie the game up in the third. When Jared Stinson singled to left, a single to left field by Stinson allowed Nevada to tie the game up, make it 1-1. Then in top of the fourth inning, Nevada struck for two more runs as well. Tyler Bassetti singled to right field, which brought in a run to make it 2-1 Nevada. Then again, top of the fourth, Wyatt Tilley grounded out to the shortstop, but was able to bring in Dylan Shrum to make it a 3-1 lead for Nevada at that time. However, the bottom of the fourth inning, Arizona State did come back to put two runs on the board and tie it at three. So this has been a very competitive game by both teams. Right now in the top of the sixth inning, Nevada does have a runner on second base. Dylan Shrum is up to bat, so we'll keep you up to date with this game as we go along. But again, for Nevada, this would be a great opportunity. I mean, they're going to have a number of opportunities this year to really prove what they can do against top talent. Mentioned that they have two games against Arizona State. The Sun Devils will come here to Reno later on this year. I believe mid-May is when that is going to happen. Yes, May 11th, Arizona State comes here to Reno. So they'll get a second chance to play Arizona State this year. Then you also think about teams coming up. I mean, after this one-off game with Arizona State before they play again in May, they'll go on the road to play USC three times, so another Pac-12 school for Nevada to play. And then again, they get to play Texas as well in the middle of April. So this is a out-of-conference schedule that was talked about in the preseason, but is really going to give Nevada great opportunities to show the talent on this team and in this program, and showing it right now. I mean, they bounced back after a loss to Cal Poly to win three in a row. They bounced back after a tough Saturday against UNLV to win the series finale on Sunday. So this is a team with some really good resilience, and again, a lot of talent as well. So if they can show, what they can do against these top-tier teams that are out of conference, it could do wonders for them. I mean, obviously, when it comes to postseason seeding, if they make it into the College World Series, but nonetheless, this is a great opportunity for Nevada this year to really show what they can do. And the fact that they are hanging with Arizona State on the road, a team that's ranked in the top 25, that is very, very impressive. And the fact that Nevada is able to, I mean, again, they fought back. Again, it was just a 1-0 deficit. But you know what? To bounce back, to get the lead, and just be this competitive with a top 25 ranked team in the nation on the road, no less, is very, very impressive. So hopefully Nevada can keep this up throughout this game. And again, possibly bring in a huge out-of-conference win as they get set to go on the road and play three games against USC, which is the next three coming up next weekend, the 12th, 13th, and 14th of March. Because they were supposed to have two games against San Jose State coming up this weekend. Really, three games because of the doubleheader on Saturday. But San Jose State not starting their baseball season yet. So those games will be rescheduled to later in the season. But this is going to be... for Nevada, you come off this opening stretch of having the four games against Cal Poly, the three against UNLV, this one against Arizona State, and I think they'll have a lot of, obviously a lot of results, a lot of stats, a lot of film to be able to look at, and then be able to set themselves up, have this weekend off, really be able to study that film and just get some rest after starting this season. I mean, you think about the fact that, again, this team had last season cut short, and again, it was about a year in between when last season ended and this season began against Cal Poly, and the way they've been able to come out has been really impressive. But having that much time off in between the end of your season and start of your next season, your body just needs time to get back into it. And these guys obviously are very well-conditioned athletes, obviously very young too, so they have that ability just to kind of pop back up and get back into it. But to have this season start with this many games on the road, to have this weekend off, kind of regroup mentally, physically, look at the stats, look at the film, and prepare themselves for next weekend's matchup against USC, I think will do this team a lot of good. And then, they wrap up those three games against the Trojans, and they get to come home for their first home games or home series in conference against Fresno State with a doubleheader on Saturday, March 20th, and then a single game on the 21st. So we're close to getting to see Nevada here at home for the first time this season, but with the way this season had started with all these games on the road, the fact they're 4-3, they keep fighting. They're fighting right now against Arizona State, and Nevada now has runners on the corners with nobody out and Tyler Bassetti up to the plate. So again, this is a chance for Nevada to put some damage on Arizona State and just to put some, make a real statement early on in the season. It wasn't going to be easy to have this many road games to start, but you come back after the first loss to beat Cal Poly 3-1. Yeah, you struggled against UNLV, losing 2 out of 3 games. But if you went bouncing back to winning that third game, then having this kind of performance on the road against Arizona State could do a lot for this team moving forward, especially, again, with this weekend off before they get to play USC for 3 games next weekend. So looking forward to that, looking forward to how this baseball season plays out. With the way that it has started, and looking forward to these guys coming home, not next weekend, but the weekend after, their March 20th and 21st, when they play Fresno State. And they go right back on the road to play New Mexico, so it's not an easy start to this season, but Nevada is playing very, very well right now, and we'll see if they can put one of these runs on the board. Unfortunately not. Dylan Strum out at second, caught stealing. So there is still a runner on third base, but one out now for Nevada with Bassetti still at the plate. So Nevada still a chance to get a run on the board. So like I said, we'll keep you up to date with that game as we go through the broadcast. One other Nevada team in action today, and that is the women's golf team. The Gunrock Invitational down in Sacramento, California. The second day of that competition was today. A leaderboard as we are through three. They played 2 rounds yesterday. I'm not entirely sure if they'll be playing 2 rounds today. They have already completed round 3 of this competition. Nevada, unfortunately, was in ninth place after the first day yesterday out of 11 teams. They have, unfortunately, dropped down to 10th place today, 35 over par as a team. And like I said, in 10th place out of 11. But they had a good start yesterday. Unfortunately, not able to keep that going today. Stanford up there in first, 26 under. Sacramento State second, and UC Davis and San Jose State tied for third. But that is the other action right now in Nevada sports. Women's golf will wrap up this tournament to wrap up these 2 days of competition down there in Sacramento and have a little bit of time off before their next meet. But we wish them the best of luck in their continued season. We'll keep you up to date on how they do this year. But we are going to head to break. When we come back, we will talk some NHL about some scores that happened last night, some headlines. There's a very notable player now going on COVID-19, the COVID-19 protocol list. So we'll talk about that and preview some of the games coming up today. But that's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Well, unfortunately, things kind of petered out there for Nevada in the top of the sixth inning once Dylan Strome was caught stealing at second. Tyler Bassetti struck out, and Flores flied out to right field to end the inning. So, unfortunately, Nevada came away with 0 points there in the sixth. Arizona State now up to bat in the bottom of the inning with a runner on second base. We'll see if Nevada can get out of this bottom of the sixth with the game still tied. But now let's talk a little bit of hockey. It was a fun night last night. Some interesting scores. Starting with the Panthers and the Hurricanes. This game going to overtime. Florida still somehow in the top of the Central Division. I'm not entirely sure how they're doing it. They're just playing some really great, smart hockey right now with the way they're attacking. They're entering the zone in creative ways, getting some good shots on net. And just defensively and with their goaltending, I mean, I did not expect Florida. It wouldn't have maybe completely surprised me if they had snuck in as the fourth seed there in the playoffs, the Central Division, although I would have seen Tampa Bay, Carolina, Columbus, and maybe Dallas as those teams that move out of the division. But to see Florida right now, top spot, and still the top spot, even with the loss last night, this is still a team that is first place in the Central Division. Granted, it's only by 1 point over Tampa Bay and Carolina. That is still incredibly impressive for this Florida team, which no one really thought would be, I mean, again, maybe an outside playoff contender for the fourth seed, but nowhere near first place in the Central Division. So a really strong showing there from Florida, even though Carolina got the better of them last night with a 3-2 win there in overtime. Florida is still playing better hockey than I think anyone expected them really to play this year. But the loss last night, a good one for Carolina on the road in overtime, and that helps them a little bit there in third place. Again, now just trailing Florida by 1 point, along with Tampa Bay. Chicago in fourth in the Central Division with 28 points, and there is a bit of a gap between fourth and fifth. Chicago leads Columbus by 7 points there, so the top four pretty separated there from the bottom four in this Central Division. But nonetheless, Carolina getting a big win last night in overtime over Florida. Then let's go to the North for some interesting results. Ottawa just continues to play great hockey. They've just been exchanging and trading blows with Calgary over the last few games. But the Senators last night came back with a win over Calgary 5-1. This is a team in Ottawa that really, I mean, Montreal in fourth and Calgary in fifth, not the best teams in the division, but those are two teams that Ottawa has just had some real success against this year. You think about the fact that they got just, you know, wiped off the ice against Vancouver, who's in sixth, and they're really dominating Montreal and Calgary this year. I mean, Calgary not so much as Montreal. I think they've won 3 out of 4 games against the Canadiens, but they've won at least 2 of the last 3 against Calgary. So this is an Ottawa team that just continues to play some of its best hockey so far this year. And now, just 5 points back of Calgary in fifth and just 6 points back of Montreal for a playoff spot. And those top four teams starting to get a little strung out there in the Northern Division, with Toronto having 36 points, 8 ahead of Edmonton there in second. You have Edmonton and Winnipeg pretty close to each other. But just the way that Ottawa has been playing as of late, I mean, it's just entertaining to watch because of how much this team struggled early on in the year. To see the way they've been playing as of late is just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch this team right now I don't necessarily want to say defying the odds, because again, there was some chatter that Ottawa, I mean, many of these teams in the Northern Division made some improvements to their lineups and their roster in the offseason. So some were saying that Ottawa could possibly, I mean, obviously people that are a lot closer to the sport full time than I am, were saying that Ottawa could be a sleeper to sneak into the playoffs or maybe just make things interesting there in the North. And the start of their season, the first couple games, you know, it looked like that could be true, and then they just completely fell off, all starting with that series against Vancouver, really. And now they've just kind of turned it around, and that's the thing. In the NBA, you know, you have 10 less games this year. It's not a huge difference. In the NHL, they're only playing about two-thirds of the season they normally do. So when you have such, you know, less time to make up, you know, ground or make up points in this season, Ottawa's really done a nice job of quickly trying to turn this around and make their situation a whole heck of a lot better. So a great win again for Ottawa last night over Calgary 5-1. And staying in the North again, another little upset. Vancouver beat Winnipeg on the road 4-0. This is a Vancouver team again in sixth place, Winnipeg in third. And, you know, those middle teams, really, Toronto and Edmonton have looked like the class of this division. Toronto even a step above Edmonton this year. But, again, those kind of middle four teams, third to sixth, they're in the Northern Division. Really, I feel like kind of a toss-up as of right now, who could win on any given night. But Vancouver, again, the youth of that team really had a coming-out party, I think, throughout last year. And I was expecting them to really build on that this season. And, you know, again, early on in the year, looking like they were going to do that, and then as the season has gone on, they've just haven't been consistent enough. Their offense has been kind of petering out here and there. They've had some really good offensive performances like they did last night against Winnipeg, and they have nights where it doesn't seem like they can get a good shot on goal. So that youth is always, I think, going to be a little inconsistent. But, you know, Vancouver, that's a great win for them last night against Winnipeg, and if you're the Jets, you got to try and not lose too much contact there with Edmonton. Right now, only 1 point separates them, with Montreal still 4 points back for that third-place spot. But if you're Winnipeg, not the best loss to have right now, as you're trying to kind of keep in touch with those top teams in the Northern Division. And speaking of the top team, the two top teams there in the North, Edmonton, they played last night in Edmonton. The Maple Leafs came away 3-0 winners. And again, just an overall really solid performance there from Toronto. Offensively, they're not beating themselves. They're entering the zone cleanly. They're getting good shots in the slot and around the faceoff circle. And defensively, just not giving up anything easy. They're not allowing anyone just to you know, set themselves up in the slot. Good communication on defense, not leaving anybody unmarked. Even when they're a man down, they do a great job, it seems like, of just making sure everyone knows where the offensive players are. So Toronto with a great showing last night against Edmonton, 3-0. Then we had three games in the West last night as well. No action in the Eastern Division yesterday, but three games out West. The Sharks, I mean, came out of nowhere last night with a 6-2 win over Colorado, after Colorado had a 1-0 lead in the first period, took a 2-0 lead relatively early on there in the second period, thanks to Gabriel Landeskog getting a backhander on the power play. But then San Jose answered with two goals of their own late in the second period to tie it up at two. And then the San Jose Sharks just decided, you know what, let's just dominate the third period. And they played maybe the best period of hockey, at least offensively, that maybe I've seen all year. They put up four unanswered goals. Really, I mean, they ended the game with six unanswered goals, but they outscored Colorado 4-0 in that third period to hammer home a 6-2 victory, which I was not expecting, at least not in favor of the Sharks. I wouldn't have been surprised at all if Colorado beat San Jose 6-2, but the fact that the Sharks played, again, arguably one of their best periods of hockey that they have played all year long in the third period last night against Colorado, that was something special to see. So San Jose should feel good about that game last night, although this is a team still in seventh place in the Western Division. A good 5 points back of Colorado there in fourth place. So San Jose helping themselves a little bit in a pursuit of a playoff spot. But nonetheless, still not having the season that you know, fans like myself would like them to have. But nonetheless, some other action in the Western Conference or the Western Division. I should say they're not conferences this year. They're divisions. Keep messing that up a little bit. But in the Western Division, Vegas and Minnesota on the road. They're in Las Vegas, and the Golden Knights came away with a 5-4 victory in overtime. And again, Minnesota, just like Ottawa, a team that was really struggling at the beginning of the year, has found a way to turn it around. Some better offensive play, some smarter defensive play as well. But Vegas just being Vegas. I mean, this is a team that's dominated or been at least in front of the Western Division for most of this season and still is now with 27 points. But Minnesota, still right there. A team that is in third place, just 2 points back of Vegas. So that's still a division that could be won by anybody. And again, St. Louis in second place, and they had a win over Anaheim last night, 5-4. So the top teams there in that Western Division showing up, and it's still a tight fight. 4 points separate first to fourth in the West, so still a lot to be decided out there. But it was a fun night of hockey action last night and a fun day of hockey action coming up, today, on Tuesday. Some fun games. I mean, Blue Jackets getting ready for a nice homecoming as a smattering of NHL teams are allowing fans now back into the stadiums. And the Columbus Blue Jackets, as they come back home tonight, will allow some fans for the first time this season. They have gotten 10% capacity approved, or which will be essentially 1,953 fans. But again, what's always surprised me about this year when we start to get fans back, I mean, even the NFL, a handful of teams had fans throughout the whole season. But when you listen to the NBA, when you were listening to the NHL in their bubbles, for their postseason restart in their seasons last year, when you listen to baseball season this year during the regular season with no fans, then you get to the baseball playoffs and you have a smattering of a couple thousand fans. You get to, the NFL playoff games, NFL regular season games like in Dallas or Kansas City when you have a smattering of a couple thousand fans. Even this many, even the just under 2,000 that Columbus is going to have tonight for their game, it's amazing that when you watch a sport with no fan noise, I mean, unless it's pumped through the speakers, which I am officially way over now, but when you hear the silence around those sports, then you just hear, again, almost 2,000 fans making noise. It sounds like 20. It sounds like 20 or 30,000 fans, and where you're so used to hearing no real live reaction from people around these sporting events, when you first start to hear that again, it's I don't know how to describe it. It's so refreshing. And so now to have fans back at home for this game for Columbus, I imagine that's going to just feel like, make a whole world of difference for this Columbus Blue Jackets team, who really needs a boost. They're 0-4-1 in their past five games, which includes back-to-back losses to Nashville, which also is not the cream of the crop right now in that Central Division, but they lost 2-1 on Saturday to Nashville and 3-1 to Nashville on Sunday. So the Blue Jackets, who have only scored two goals in their past three games, really need a boost right now, and having fans there at home could definitely be that boost. So we'll see if Columbus can get it done again. They're playing Detroit tonight, and the Red Wings, last place in that Central Division. Or actually, is Dallas now behind them? Dallas is now behind them. So Detroit, seventh place now in the Central Division. So we'll see if Columbus, who is there in fifth, who really needs a win if they want to try and close that gap to Chicago. We'll see if they can feed off the energy of those almost 2,000 fans there in Ohio tonight in Columbus and maybe turn this 0-4-1 streak around and try to get back into that win column. And also the Pennsylvania rivalry gets to continue this year. Sidney Crosby, though, has been placed on the COVID-19 list for the season, so he will not be able to be there tonight for the Penguins and the Flyers. And that is a bummer. Obviously, one of the biggest names in the NHL. You want to see him out there and competing, especially with how fun those games are, usually with those in-state rivalries. And Philadelphia and Pittsburgh right now battling over that final playoff spot. 2 points separates the Flyers and the Penguins, with Philadelphia currently in that fourth place. So this could be a big game in terms of of who could possibly steal that final playoff spot, at least for right now. But anytime Philadelphia and Pennsylvania get to, or Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh get together, it's always a fun atmosphere, always a fun game, always a lot of intensity between those two. And there will be some fans permitted this time as well into this game. 15% capacity or 2,800 people will be there in attendance for this game. And it warms my heart to see people coming back. Hopefully people can respect the rules and the regulations that are put in terms of masks and social distancing so that we can continue just to welcome fans back. Because this is where it's going to be. It's just going to be welcoming fans back, at, you know, little by little. It's going to start with, you know, 10% or 15% or whatever. It's just going to slowly increase, hopefully, over this year. But this is what it's going to be. And hopefully fans can respect that and follow the rules that these teams and these stadiums and arenas put out there. And we can continue to welcome fans back, because I cannot wait to watch hockey this afternoon or this evening with fans in the stands and having, again, just that live gut reaction to what is happening in front of them. So looking forward to that, and hopefully maybe some extra fans there in Pittsburgh will help the power play for Pittsburgh, which has been struggling this year. The penalty kill for Pittsburgh has been struggling this year. They've allowed 15 goals in 15 of 20 games this season has the Pittsburgh penalty kill. So it has not been working as well as Mike's Coach Sullivan or anybody there with Pittsburgh would hope that it is this or hope that it would be this season. So maybe having some fans there in the stands can pump up that penalty kill for Pittsburgh, especially since Philadelphia, with a man advantage and a lot of great offensive talent, can pick apart a team a man down. So we'll see if some extra fans there can make a difference and give Pittsburgh a little boost as well. And then Montreal gets to go home to play a game in front of at their home arena against the Ottawa Senators. So we'll see if this team, Montreal, that has struggled so much this year to beat Ottawa, we'll see if they can get their second win of five games, or if Ottawa continues to dominate Montreal this year. But this will be the first home game for the interim head coach for the Montreal Canadiens. Dominique Ducharme will get to coach his first game at home as the interim head coach since Claude Julien was fired after losing to Ottawa 5-4 in a shootout. So we'll see if the home debut for the new interim head coach goes better than his overall debut, which was a Montreal loss. But it should be a fun day of hockey. We'll have the New York Islanders and the New Jersey Devils going on, Sabres at Rangers as well. Mentioned the Flyers and Penguins, Red Wings and Blue Jackets, Senators and Canadiens. Carolina going to Nashville. The Predators continuing their five-game homestand after they swept back-to-back sets against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nashville, though, has won four of its past five games, so a team that is playing some better hockey right now. So we'll see if they can keep that going as the Hurricanes conclude this five-game road trip. Then we have Vancouver at Winnipeg, and then Tampa Bay at Dallas in a rematch of the Stanley Cup final last year. The Lightning seeking their fifth straight win in the latest rematch of the Stanley Cup finals from last season. Andrei Vasilevsky got his second straight shutout when he made 20 saves against Dallas on Saturday in a 5-0 win for Tampa Bay. So we'll see if the Lightning can keep that going over the team they beat last year for the Stanley Cup. But another fun day of hockey. Can't wait for that. And it's been a big, big bottom of the sixth inning for Arizona State. It was 3-3 going into this inning. Nevada had some runners on base in the top of the sixth, unable to get those runners across. And Arizona State has put up four runs in the bottom of the sixth. And that is actually the end of the sixth inning. So after six, Arizona State now leads Nevada 7-3. So a big time inning there for the Sun Devils. We'll see if Nevada can answer at least with a couple runs here in the top of the seventh. But I'll keep you up to date on that game. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some NBA with some scores last night, what's coming up today, and some headlines as well here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Well, it was a fun night in the NBA as well last night with some interesting scores. The Dallas Mavericks continue to play some better ball. Now that they have Kristaps Porzingis back, played 33 minutes last night in the Dallas Mavericks 130-124 win. Over Orlando, had 17 points. Of course, Luka Doncic is the one leading the way with 33. But still, some solid performances from Dallas off the bench. We've seen that at times this year. But last night, Jalen Brunson was able to give him 24 points off the bench. And then Trey Burke had 11 as well. So two double-digit scorers for Dallas off the bench last night. And what was a solid game for the Mavericks. Again, a team that, I think like a handful of teams at the start of the year wasn't playing to the level that a lot of us expected them to play at. Again, with their run last year, they're playing the bubble. They're playing the playoffs as well. But this is a Dallas team that, like I said, has just been playing some better basketball as of late. And in that Western Conference now, 2 wins in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. They're still in ninth place. But this is definitely some better play from the Dallas Mavericks now this time around. Philadelphia continues their hot play with a win over the Pacers last night, 130-114. Indiana, a team that has been just slipping. I mean, if you look at the Western Conference, last Tuesday, not a whole lot of movement. Just four teams changed positions. That was the Lakers and the Clippers that swapped second and third place. And you have OKC and Sacramento who swapped positions for 12th and 13th. That's it. Otherwise, everybody else holding their spot in the Western Conference. If you look at the East, a lot of movement. And you had the Indiana Pacers falling 5 spots. Last Tuesday, they were in 4th place in the Eastern Conference. Now today, they are down in 9th. So it has been a rough stretch for Indiana. And really, when you're playing teams like Philadelphia, it's going to be rough. The way this 76ers team has played this year. I mean, again, Joel Embiid, 24 points, 13 rebounds last night, continues to be that all-star and really that leading force for the team this year. 18 points from Ben Simmons as well. Another nice performance off the bench for Philadelphia. Shake Milton giving him 6 points off the bench last night. So a nice play for Philadelphia. Good game for the 76ers as they continue to really be the standout team there in the Eastern Conference. I mean, this is a Philadelphia team now that, just a half-game lead over Brooklyn, who's been playing really well. But Philadelphia, for them to have held the top place in this conference for as much of the season as they have, this is a team that truly, I mean, even if they fall out of first place, I feel like continues to put the notion out there they are a true title contender this year. Now, of course, we have to wait to see how they can handle the pressure of the playoffs. But this is a Philadelphia team that I feel like we're finally starting to see them with the talent that they have in Embiid and Simmons and the talent around them, finally starting to see them play at that top level. You know what? Doc Rivers deserves a lot of credit for that. Coming in, implementing his style, putting his foot down and being the true, head coach of that team. I think it's made a world of difference for Philadelphia this year. But a team right behind him in Brooklyn, 9-1 in their last 10, just a half a game back of Philadelphia. So we'll see how that goes, especially with the way Brooklyn has been playing, especially with the way James Harden for Brooklyn has been playing after he got his 7th triple-double since joining Brooklyn in their 124-113 win in overtime last night over San Antonio. So that Brooklyn team, obviously they weren't a team to take lightly, period, but even without KD out there, even with James Harden kind of leading the way, which I'm not sure if a lot of people thought that'd be the best way to go with the fact that it didn't really work out in Houston, would it work out in Brooklyn? And with KD not being in the lineup and Kyrie kind of just seeming like he's cool with this. He's cool with James Harden kind of being the guy that takes over. Of course, saying that you're the point guard, take over, be that position. And James Harden has done that. And even Irving, last night in the post-game press conference, when he was asked about James Harden and his triple doubles, and Irving with a smile on his face said, quote, "We have to implement the phrase, get used to it." And, if James Harden can play the way he did in Houston without that affecting the way that Kyrie Irving and KD, when he's out there, can contribute to this team, then, yeah, that Brooklyn Nets team is on the express train to a championship. So we'll see if they can pull that off. But a great performance by the 76ers last night, a great performance by the Nets last night. Denver, for their struggles, got a nice win over Chicago, 118-112. The Utah Jazz, again, kind of stumble. They lost the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 129-124, as Zion Williamson led the way with 26 points and 10 rebounds and 5 assists as well. Utah put in a late charge, but New Orleans able to defensively hold off Utah enough, which is saying something. The way that Utah offense has exploded at times this year, the fact that New Orleans was able to put off a late charge there from the Jazz. But also, I mean, you look at that third quarter. New Orleans outscored the Jazz 40-24 in that third quarter. That's a huge quarter to have coming out of halftime, especially for New Orleans, who was trailing, I mean, only by a handful of points, I think 4 or 5 points, but still to come out here and have that kind of third quarter was huge for New Orleans, and we have seen them with that kind of play at times this year, and Zion just continues to be more and more of a fun player to watch. And what I like is that stat line. He had 26 points, which is what you want from this young man. You want him to be out there and leading the team in that sense. I mean, it just seems like with his power, I mean, the more he matures, it's crazy to think how young he is, because every time I see him, I think he's borderline 30 years old, but he's not. So just the more he matures and the bigger he gets, the stronger he gets, the more he gets control over, you know, the area down the low block, the area kind of right around the defensive 3-second zone. I mean, the more he gets just bigger and stronger, the more he's going to dominate close to the rim. And but what I like about that, what I was going to say is I like about that stat line. He has 26 points and the 10 rebounds, but also the 5 assists. I like the way he looks for his teammates as well. You want him to be the star. You want him to be the standout. But the fact that he's not putting all that focus on himself, I mean, the fact that he is looking for other teammates, he's getting those passes off, he's getting some assists, I think that's great for New Orleans. So the fact that you see that kind of play from such a young guy who is now getting the playing time that I think we all would like to see him get. Obviously, injuries last year, kind of a special situation for him with coaching staffs not wanting to push him. But seeing him get the playing time he's getting this year, it's been a lot of fun to watch him, and that's a stat line I like to see from a young man who's still, you know, physically maturing. He's going to get a little bigger. He's going to get a little stronger. And as he does that, he's going to be a force in the NBA. He already is quite the force in the NBA, but I can't wait to see how he just continues to evolve as he puts down those type of score lines. But for Utah, not overly concerned on with the way this team is playing. You're not going to go undefeated in the NBA, so you're going to lose a game here and there. And for Utah, that was a good performance from New Orleans last night. And again, they made a late charge, just left it a little too late to try to come back and win that game. But a solid win for New Orleans. Cleveland with a win over Houston, who just can't seem to get anything right now. The poor Houston Rockets, they have the longest active streak, win or lose, in the NBA. Unfortunately for them, that is a 12-game losing streak. It's been tough going for Houston. I mean, this year we figured that would be the case when Harden left and Westbrook left. You know, they were losing two all-star caliber players there. And we knew they were going to struggle, but this is pretty bad for Houston. And no surprise to Victor Oladipo turning down that 2-year extension from the Houston Rockets. Now, I think that's one of the reasons is because he's looking for more of a long-term deal. But also, are you overly excited to be with Houston right now? Are you? Would you be? I wouldn't be. So, I mean, if it's only going to be 2 years, I probably would turn that down too. I'm not even sure Oladipo would want to stay in Houston. You know, he may very well want to go try and find somewhere else to play for next season. You know, so I'm not overly surprised that he turned down that deal, and I would imagine that he could very well be looking for other places to play besides Houston next season. But we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But it was a good matchup for the Cavaliers last night, getting the 101-90 victory over Houston. And then Portland, with the 123-111 win over Charlotte. The Hornets have been playing some good basketball, but Portland continues to just kind of hang around there in the Western Conference. Kind of like, really, the top three teams in the West, Utah, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Really, I'm not even sure if I would say Utah, but the way they played last year, they definitely had a possibility of being a major player in the Western Conference. But, I mean, you look at 4th to 7th, Phoenix, Portland, San Antonio, and Denver. Those are teams that I think are just kind of playing some good basketball and hanging around right now in the Western Conference, kind of waiting to see how this plays out, how this season goes. And right now, Phoenix, Portland, two teams that I like seeing 4th and 5th. I like seeing them towards the top of the Western Conference. And Portland with a great game against Charlotte, who has been playing some solid basketball as of late. Of course, LaMelo Ball has been getting a lot of attention for his play there in Charlotte, but overall that Hornets team is playing some good basketball. But Portland getting the better of them last night, 123-111. But some fun games coming up today. A big matchup there in the top four of the Western Conference. The Lakers host the Suns tonight at 7 o'clock, and that could be a very big game for both teams. I mean, Phoenix, that would be a great win for them, obviously, against the Lakers team that still doesn't have Anthony Davis. But this could be a solid win for the Phoenix Suns if they're able to go on the road, especially after Booker put up the 43-point performance in their last game. So this could be a great game for Phoenix to, again, just kind of see, really, you know, it's not the Laker team at their absolute best missing Anthony Davis, but still it's the Laker team that is still a title contender. So if Phoenix can go into L.A. and just either get a win or make it a really close game to the end, I think that just confirms that Phoenix is a legit contender there in the Western Conference. Maybe not an NBA championship contender, but at least one to maybe make it to the Western Conference semifinals and make that Western Conference interesting and a little more intriguing as the season goes along. But that would be a fun game. Celtics and Clippers. The Clippers now third place in the West, still kind of holding their own, but Boston, who was dropping down the Eastern Conference standings, right now in sixth place. So we'll see if the Celtics at home can get a win over the Clippers that had a big loss to Milwaukee over the weekend when Giannis went off in the fourth quarter. So we'll see if Boston, who is, again, a fairly young team with their stars, if they can get some confidence at home and get a win over the Clippers tonight. But that'll be a big game. And then, of course, the New York Knicks. Rick Metz, our pal, must be doing somersaults every day he wakes up and sees how well New York is playing right now, as the Knicks are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference. They're only behind Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee. That is crazy. But New York playing some really, really solid basketball right now. I mean, Obi Toppin having a great year there for New York, but just an unbelievable type of matchup for this New York team and the way that they've been playing this year. Julius Randle as well, having a fantastic season, leading the team in points, rebounds, and assists on average, just having a great year for him down there in New York. So this has been a fun year for Knicks fans, and it just might continue. They play San Antonio tonight on the road. San Antonio in sixth there in the Western Conference, so this could be a game that New York could very much win on the road and continue this remarkable season that they're having. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Another game, Nuggets-Bucks. Milwaukee in third, Denver down there in seventh. The Nuggets, who had a nice run through the playoffs last year and are not totally living up to that same type of level so far this year. But you never know if they can get a win. Milwaukee, we'll see if they can build on the win against the Clippers. But should be another entertaining night of NBA action, and looking forward to seeing how it plays out. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, female boxer Clarissa Shields looking to make 2021 her year. So we'll talk about that coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5. Clarissa Shields is looking to do something that hasn't been done since 2001, when Layla Ali and Jackie Frazier Lied headlined the first and still the first ever pay-per-view to be headlined by a women's boxing match. It was the first, it has been the only to this point. But Clarissa Shields looking to change that after she had a relatively big year still last year. Some personal things, some personal accomplishments, but also getting a little more just social media and kind of overall recognition for what she's done, what she's continuing to do in the world of women's boxing. And as the sport of boxing picked back up last summer, she was trying to get a card picked up for broadcast with her partner with Showtime, or really any type of way she could get that card, get her fight on a card on television or just being broadcasted. She was looking for that opportunity, and it didn't present itself to her. She had promoters first agreeing, then backing out, and just a whole kind of circus act around trying to get these fights, put onto some kind of pay-per-view card or a television card or whatever it might be. So Clarissa Shields and her manager, Mark Taffet, are going for the first ever all-female boxing pay-per-view card. And this is something that Clarissa Shields and her manager are trying to put on themselves. They're going to try and get some help to come in, but this is their idea. And if they can pull this off, this could be huge for the sport of boxing. If you have the first ever all-female boxing card, and it's headlined by Clarissa Shields, someone who's undefeated, has several world championships to her name, that could change the way women's boxing is looked at, perceived, and promoted down the line. So this could be huge if this works out. I hope it does. I didn't see any kind of tentative date put out there yet, but this would be huge if this could be accomplished. And I hope they do accomplish it. And that could just be the start this year for Clarissa Shields, as she has signed a deal, the Pro Fighters League. She has signed a deal with them to take part in, I think it's 2 non-league matches. So they wouldn't, count towards fighters going to the playoffs or any kind of overall competition in that sense. But if she is to first put on this all-female card, then transition, and still be a boxer, but then also take part in MMA fights, that might not open up the world for female fighters. That can open up the world for fighters in general. I mean, think about if Conor McGregor was able to somehow beat Floyd Mayweather, an MMA star that thrives in MMA and now made his name in boxing. It would have catapulted him to even bigger levels. So if Clarissa Shields is able to, 1, stay undefeated and stay a world champion, 2, be a part of putting on and headlining the first ever all-women's boxing pay-per-view, and then 3, go over to the world of MMA and maybe not dominate, but at least get wins, this could be a year unlike any other year for a combat athlete. So I hope she's able to pull off the pay-per-view card. I hope she's able to get this MMA fight under her belt and have some success there. I hope she's able to take women's boxing to another level. Because if you haven't watched women do combat in the boxing ring, it's awesome. It's just as awesome as watching them in the MMA world as well. So hopefully they can pull this off. But that's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk tomorrow. Peace.